So on today's show, we're really, really pleased to have Victoria Hanbury-Maiden with us. Hi there, Victoria.
Hi.
Hiya.
Hi.
And Victoria is a charity consultant. She has over 14 years' experience in the charity sector. She's worked with local, national, and international charities in fundraising, marketing, operations, and management.
Wow.
So, Victoria, please tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, thank you so much for that lovely introduction. As you said, I've got a number of years' experience in the charity sector. And I came sort of into the sector sort of straight after university, really. I was looking at different jobs and graduate schemes and things like that, and nothing really jumped out at me. And then I saw a job at Barnardo's. What I really loved about the idea of the job was it gave you the opportunity to be really hands-on, but also the element that you were working for an organization that really gives back. And you felt it felt less like I was a cog in a machine. I had sort of a more important part to play, if that makes sense. So my main role there, I had a couple of different roles, was with corporate partnerships. So working with companies, which I really, really love, because I think there's a real, real mutual benefit for companies and charities to work together, which we can talk a little bit more about. And then I worked for some smaller charities, international charities. I've done some freelance work. And then most recently, I was the chief executive of a small children's charity based in Oswestry in Shropshire. And then I took the plunge back into sort of self-employment, but full-time self-employment, at the beginning of last year when I set up my consultancy work. Which was a bit of a concern because it was quite
good timing.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was right before the pandemic hit, literally sort of 3 or 4 weeks. But I've been very lucky actually to be really, really busy. I've really enjoyed it. And I think another part of my there were personal reasons why I wanted to go back to being self-employed, but also a key motivation for me was the variety. I really love working with a real variety of organisations. And as you said, I've got experience of different things. So fundraising, operations, management, I've done some marketing as well. So being able to offer sort of different skills and not working in a specific role, especially from the larger charities, you often work in, you're quite sort of pigeonholed. You work in corporate partnerships, or you work in, major giving, or you work in challenge events or something like that. So actually to be able to sort of support charities or give advice or direction on lots of different things, including even trustee governance and stuff like that, is really exciting. Because I think with any organization, it's really important that people focus on the different areas, but actually it is about that wider picture and all of those different parts coming together, especially in a smaller organization. And we've got so many fantastic charities in Shropshire, and the majority of the organizations I work with are in Shropshire, although I do work with some further afield. But it's just fantastic to get to know so many fantastic organizations and people as well. It's all about the people, really.
Excellent. I mean, as you said, an absolutely diverse range of experience and skill sets and so on. So you've got a lot to give basically to the charity sector, and you can feel the passion and the warmth from you as well. So I think it's a marriage, isn't it, really, in terms of what you want to do, your desires, why are you here, sort of thing, without going too spiritual with everything. You've really found your place, and it sounds like you're really loving what you're doing, and it's very encouraging that you set up during a pandemic as well, and things are working out for you. It's testament to your skill set and your experiences.
Oh, that's really, really kind. I think as well, it's a time when charities, it's an unprecedented time for everybody, isn't it? But, it's really, lots of organisations, had to sort of close down out there or couldn't continue to operate. But with charities, the majority of charities are providing a service where actually there may have been an increase in demand during the pandemic. So at a time when there was a lot of uncertainty, and certainly, there is a big concern about lack of funds for the sector, and things like that, actually there's a massive increase in demand for the work that charities are doing. So they didn't really have the option to just stop, you know. I work with mental health charities. I know you had Tess Bailey Sayer on last week from the Sea Change Trust. But yes. There's a massive increase in demand for organisations like that at the moment. So as a charity, you're there to help. Your mission and your vision is to help address any challenges and support people. So you really don't want to have to take a step back at a time when you feel that you need to be pushing ahead. So I think there's definitely been room for me to be able to come in and support organizations, whether it be with fundraising or supporting their board of trustees and various things like that. And actually, I think what's really important as well is looking at things strategically. It's so easy to react to a situation, and I think that was definitely the case at the beginning of last year. And then charities started to realize, actually, we need to really think about where we're focusing our energies, maybe, you know, even if it's in the short to medium term, and how we can adapt and change what we're doing. And I think the sector has responded incredibly well. It really has, you know, even in terms of things like digital, which is not, you know, I think the sector has always been a little behind in that. And you know, I've been to many conferences where we've talked about that. So I don't think I'm fair in saying that. And, you know, I wouldn't speak for every charity, but generally. But actually, you know, charities have adapted so well, providing services online and doing things like that. And it's really testament to the sector.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So I think we're all aware, you know, like any sector, as you've mentioned, the charities have been substantially hit financial shortfalls. What's your advice? What's your experience with those? I mean, you've mentioned that the charities are kind of they're moving on, and they're taking advantage to some degree of being more strategic with their communications, with their marketing. So, how do you feel things that need to evolve for charities? What can people do? How can they get involved?
There's a few questions in there, I think.
I like to ask all of my questions and then
in one fell swoop.
Let you forget all of them apart from one. So, I mean, obviously.
Just to give some, I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. And there are ways that charities can adapt and can try and ride this wave and things like that. Just to give some context, it's estimated that there's a £10 billion loss for charities in the UK from the start of the pandemic to now. So that's £10 billion. And the government in their support last year gave £750 million. So if you think about the shortfall there, I mean, of course, as I said, there are schemes that charities have, like any business or organisation, could have taken advantage of, such as a furlough scheme. However, most charities actually needed to continue to operate. Furloughing all their staff at a time when their services were in demand wasn't necessarily something that could happen. So there were lots last year of charitable trusts and foundations and things like that that were changing their criteria to give grants to charities, for loss of income or to support adapting their services and going digital and things like that. So there was a real scope, I'd say, last year for approaching organisations for grants. And I think that was probably a real key focus of last year, because of course, so many charities raise funds through public fundraising, events, marathons, other fun runs and things like that, and sponsorship, that there was a real kind of, it's really difficult to think about things differently. And then of course we had lots of virtual events and things like that. So there was a real kind of flurry. And then I think a lot of those, you know, we all got a bit fatigued with doing things. The novelty does wear off. But it's interesting because I was reading a lot of surveys last year, and there was actually the likelihood to give with the general public actually increased by 12% across all age groups last year. I think for people were really seeing the need for charities. The lack of income that they were receiving at this time because of all these cuts, but actually the services they provide and the increase of those services. If you think of things like food banks as well at this time,
things like that.
When we're all maybe struggling, it's charities that often step in and help. And what was really interesting was there was 700% growth in new donors in the 18 to 24 age group.
Wow.
So there was a real sort of growth in that area. And also a lot of organizations, sort of a lot of individuals supporting organizations that helped locally as well. So again, it could be the national charities, but they were often inspired by work that was happening in their local area.
Yes.
And I think a lot of that happened off the back of, you know, especially last year, there was a real sense of coming together with your community and with your neighborhood, wasn't there? And I think there still is, but especially at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, I know where I live in Shrewsbury, we now have a Facebook group for the local area. We have a WhatsApp group for the street. And those were set up originally for supporting each other. But actually, they've continued and we've got to know people in a different way. So I think there's a real sense of understanding maybe more the impact that charities can have locally. And I think for charities, it's thinking about all these things. So it's thinking about how to communicate messages on a local level as well as a national level. It's thinking about any new donors that might be coming to the charity because of new virtual events or because they have an affiliation with the cause just because they feel that they now want to do something or they have more time to do something.
Yeah.
It's not just about giving money. It can be about volunteering your time or helping with collections and things like that. So for me, I think it's really important for charities to think of all the different ways that they can engage with people. And, you know, as you said, I think, Wayne, communicating messages and is so important. And I think charities can find it hard to be vulnerable and say, look, we really need money, you know, and actually that's a message that a lot of organisations historically shy away from. They communicate the impact of giving money. So this is the difference your money will make. But actually, a lot of people last year were actually responding to organisations saying, look, we need money. We won't be able to continue without money. So some of the messaging has actually shifted in that way.
Mm.
But I've always been a big believer, and I think it's been so important in the last year for charities to really diversify income streams, you know. So a lot of charities, when smaller charities set out, raise money predominantly through one area. So it might be charitable trusts and foundations, or it might be a specific group of donors, or it might be through public fundraising events. Because when you're a small organisation, you don't have the resources to do all the different things that a large organisation might have. But actually, what you need is that real mix of different things, because in a situation like last year where one area gets hit, actually what you need is to be able to really focus and grow on other areas. So those are some of the tips that I would suggest.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, isn't it, Darren? Because I think like any sector, you would have to reflect on who your target market is and where are they and what they're doing. And actually, you know, a lot of the target market for many companies, never mind charities as well, of course, they have got time on their hands. They're more at home, aren't they? And they're probably online a lot more. I know at the start of COVID, the stats for people being online just kind of went through the roof because, you know, people were just not at work and there's lockdown, you know. So Darren, there's quite a lot of things to consider, isn't there?
There certainly is. And the other thing I was just going to say is, that businesses often want to give to charities. I mean, are you finding though that nowadays, because businesses are worried about their own, you know, their own business and their own money worries, that businesses are not quite so, supportive of charities, or is that still the case? And also, how do they go about it if they do want to support a charity? What's their sort of steps?
I think charities, certain companies are certainly still giving to charities and are still supporting charities, and it's a really important part of their corporate social responsibility. So I think obviously companies had to respond to things last year and do things internally. So there might have been a little pause last year where things perhaps weren't moving forwards and maybe at quite the speed that they had done historically. But then I worked with lots of companies last year who did online virtual challenge events and things like that. And it was a way of bringing their teams together, actually, yes. at a time yeah,
right,
when,
right.
for the first time, they might not be sat in an office together. Mm. So having a key focus of a joint fundraising event that could take place virtually, a quiz that they could all do for, together and raise money for charities, was actually really, really important. And it gave them an opportunity to speak about some of the things that their company was doing outside of talking predominantly about COVID as well.
So, Victoria, if a business is thinking of doing some fundraising, like you were saying that, you know, that their employees might actually quite like to do some kind of fundraising event because it would also help their morale of the business as well. But they really haven't got a clue what to do. Can they contact you and find out what charities need help, what kind of fundraising that they can do?
I mean, I'd be very happy to have that sort of discussion with any company. I obviously work with a number of charities, but I'm also, you know, I've worked through corporate fundraising and worked with some companies as well on that side of things. So I'm very happy to, I'm always happy to have a conversation. I like having a chat. so I'm very happy and to signpost or just to sort of come together and discuss some ideas as well. I think there's so many things that companies can do, and you know, money is always important, but it's not just about money. And I think, as we said, there's so many benefits to a company. Staff morale being one of them. You know, sort of positive PR as well is another one. And also, you know, that sense that actually you are doing something to help. To help a local community, whether that's a local community geographically or a group of people. And that's so important. But I think as well, there are so many skills that companies can really give to charity.
Of course, yeah.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, and whether that's sort of down the traditional volunteering route, you know, that's less easy at the moment because, you know, we can't necessarily get hands on and do stuff, you know, where we can go into buildings and do that sort of, you know, painting and decorating, all that practical stuff. Mm. There's lots of things that can happen remotely and virtually. And I think especially for smaller charities that maybe the majority of their staff or their, you know, their team, whether it's paid employees or volunteers, might be on the ground working with the beneficiaries or providing services. They don't always have such a big sort of office staff base where there's lots of fundraisers or marketing people or you know, finance people or anything like that, really. I mean, every charity is supported by a board of trustees, so they bring some fantastic skills.
Yes.
But what organizations often need is even if it, you know, whether it's sort of hands-on support or whether it's just some advice, really, would be amazing. You know, I know lots of charities who are going through looking at their marketing, looking at their branding, you know, and actually just having a conversation with somebody who could signpost them in the right direction for what it is they actually might benefit from.
Yes.
You know, not everyone, and I completely appreciate this, has the time to give lots of their time for free or to offer all their services for free. And that's completely understandable. But, you know, some advice is often so important. And there are places charities can go for funding for certain things. And actually, if a company is able to offer advice and direction, that's something they can build into a funding bid application. So I think there's so many things, and obviously it's not just through companies. We can volunteer our time as individuals outside of the world of work as well. And I know some companies do give their employees time to volunteer, so it's worth having that sort of conversation as well. But you know, I know charities who are currently looking for some for volunteers to do research for them, to research funding, trusts and foundations they can apply to for funding, to go through lists and things like that, and they'll give them criteria, because that takes so much time, and it's often time that charities just don't have. And so anybody, you know, there's lots of different ways that you can help. And I think if you can offer up that time, and again, I'm happy to have a conversation about that and consider how someone's skills might help charities. You know, there's so much that people can do. And I think it's just sort of, it's often about thinking outside the box. It's, you know, and not just sort of going down the typical route of what's out there, but really, really thinking, this is what I might be able to offer. And then finding that right organization who'd be able to to really utilize your skills, because there will be one. There will be a charity out there. We've all got skill. We've all got a skill that we could give, I'm sure.
I think what sprung to my mind is definitely the creative thought in you know, what you can do and how you can do it. But I think also, as we're coming out of lockdown 3, hopefully, and COVID, it becomes a slight thing of the past. We've got to think about what's happening on the high street. We've got to think about what's happening in people's businesses. And charities are there at grassroots level, aren't they, within communities to help, where government and local councils just aren't going to be able to offer a leaning hand or a push up the ladder, if you like. So there's probably great scope for charities to innovate, you know, diversify, and maybe for people out there who are listening to the show to think, actually, they have so much to give and they would much now rather work in a charity, set up their own charity or so on.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly true. And I think, you know, and whether it's something that you want to do as part of your job or whether it's time that you want to give. I mean, there's so many charities looking for charity trustees, for example, you know, people to help drive the direction of the organisation. But I think you're right. I think, you know, and I think we'd probably all be surprised at actually how, you know, ourselves or someone in our family may have benefited or utilized the services of a charity. And
yes,
actually sometimes it's not till you've done that you actually really appreciate the work that organizations do. I mean, I think the official statistic is that there are just under 170,000 charities in the UK, and, wow, and they're all responding to a need that hasn't been fulfilled from elsewhere in society, really. And I think you're right. I think there's new ways that we do need to think of how we can support charities, local businesses, so many organisations in different ways. But I also think there's maybe a chance for more collaboration, mm-hmm, whether that's between different sectors, companies and businesses, or charities themselves, really. It's something I've been thinking about for a long time, is also charities themselves skill sharing and working together. You know, if you have, we have so many sort of small to medium-sized charities in the county, that actually putting on some joint fundraising events, and I know there has been some of this, but I think lots of things like that, and then offering a joint package to a company who might like to sponsor that event or get involved, yes, or yes, a number of companies. So really the idea of people coming together to support, you know, a few different organisations and all pull together and pull in resources as well. I think that's such an important thing. And I think that's something I'd like to try and encourage more or see more of. As I said, whether that's within the charity sector itself or across different sectors, really.
Amazing.
I must admit, that is really interesting point. Very good point you're saying about, you know, if you are a small charity and like you say, you need to be having, you know, your branding, your marketing, you've got your fundraising, and to think, oh, you've got to find all these people. But yeah, like you say, if they actually got together with another, you know, perhaps even not a similar charity, but another charity. And yeah, just exactly, that's the word. That's the word.
Thank you. I work in brand and marketing, and you know.
Strategic alliance. I work as a voiceover artist.
Oh, yes, quite. You're award-winning now, Darren.
I know. Not to say strategic.
You're too busy polishing the cup, that's the thing.
But yeah, I wouldn't have thought that. I think that's a really, really good idea and really good advice. Yes. And also, yeah, the fact you're making, that I think people do generally think that giving to charity is putting their hand in their pocket. Mm. I think a lot of people think like that.
Yes.
And to actually point out that you've got skills, everyone's got skills of some sort, and that even if they can just give a little bit of time, or reach out to, you know, a charity that they like the sound
or someone like Victoria who can,
yes,
be,
exactly, someone like Victoria who can help
to, you know, contact with local smaller charities that are absolutely desperate for people to help them.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, because all of these things cost money, you know, so all of the things that we've discussed today and you know, whether it's spending time researching something or whether it's talking about branding or whether it's talking about social media or whether it's talking about strategy, you know, all of these things cost money. And so the more that people can help reduce that side of the cost for a charity means that, you know, they can reach a greater audience and that they can actually put more money into the work. So, I mean, obviously money is really important too, but actually it's about how to best sort of harness everyone's sort of skills and things to then sort of kind of help that push outwards, really.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I mean, you know, obviously I work with charities, but I'm always happy to have a chat, you know, and because actually sometimes what we think we need or what an organization thinks they need is not what they need. And actually, you know, it's something slightly different. And yeah. I'm always happy. I think I said what I love is a variety in talking to different organizations. So I'm always happy to have a bit of a brainstorm and think, well, actually, you know, maybe you don't need someone to come and do that. What you need first is a bit of this. And I can point you in the right direction, or is there a way that that can be achieved? So yeah, I think you're right. Giving time and giving expertise and skills is really valuable.
Thank you, Victoria. As you can hear, Victoria has a wealth of information. So whether you're a business looking to get involved in the charitable sector, or whether you want to volunteer some time, and whether you want to find out some of the smaller charities that are desperate for support, then you can get in contact with Victoria through her website, which is vhmcharityconsultancy.com. Victoria, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we hope to speak to you again soon.
Oh, thank you so much, Wayne and Darren. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you today. I've really enjoyed it.
So have we. Thanks very much.
Thank you.